due to a technical error yesterday, the sermon was unable to be recorded. Therefore, this is a synopsis of the message on our series of Who is This Jesus? Today we're looking at the woman at the well. We return to the same theme as we did last week, that we noticed that Jesus is the master of salvation. Who is this Jesus? I believe he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me. And that's what Nicodemus had to learn, and he was about to explain the same thing to a lady. Last week we saw Nicodemus, a rich and respected, religious, Jewish, educated man of his day. Today we'll look at someone completely the opposite. A woman who had been 5 times divorced, a Gentile, with little or no prospects in life. She was dissatisfied spiritually. Jesus said, you're ignorant of what you believe. She believed worshipping on a mountain. But Jesus was going to explain to her how we truly worship. We know that she was dissatisfied in her emotional life. Here she had multiple marriages, and the man in her present life, we know, was not her husband. She was a woman probably who was an outcast. She came at noon to the well, whereas most women would come early in the morning or late at night. I wonder if she was desperately tired of living and had long lost any sense of real purpose and meaning, beyond that which is surviving from day to day. And that can be true of you and I. We can ask ourselves such questions as, does our life really count? Well, I believe our lives do count. I believe that Jesus came to answer these and other questions. Remember, we are looking for revelation, for a reaction, for a result. We're looking this morning at who this Jesus is, and was he able to bring fulfillment into the life of this woman? You know, Jesus, I believe, gives each and every one of us a Kairos moment. Nicodemus came by night and had his Kairos moment. This woman, she came at noon and had her Kairos moments. Jesus will meet us, either day or night. I believe Jesus wants to input into our lives. I believe he wants to give us opportunity to meet. Ruby Hamilton was an executive in her late 50s, and she was stunned at the loss of her husband of 32 years. He was killed in a car accident. Her anger and disappointment went deeper than a more typical expression of grief, because she had become a follower of Jesus. And though her husband had not shared her faith, she nevertheless prayed and prayed that he would come to know the same faith. One day as she was praying, she felt a wave of peace over her life, and that she felt a small voice assuring her that it would be okay with her husband. And so she eagerly awaited the day when her husband would come to know Jesus. Roger Simmons was a guy who was hitchhiking his way home. He had been discharged from the army. It was May the 7th, and carrying a heavy suitcase, he was waiting and eager to take off this army uniform and live out his rest of his civilian life. Flashing his thumb to stop any oncoming car, he suddenly was startled to see a Cadillac pull up. The driver opened the door and Roger got in. Roger started to have a conversation with the man, and the man says, well, I'm going as far as Chicago. By the way, my name is Mr. Hamilton. They chatted for a while, and Roger felt a compulsion to tell him about Jesus. That compulsion grew and grew till finally he said, Mr. Hamilton, can I talk to you about a very important topic? Mr. Hamilton said, yes. And so Roger began to tell him about Jesus. The Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road, and Roger thought he was going to be thrown out of the car, but instead, man bowed his head and received Christ. He thanked Roger. Well, 5 years later, Roger had been married and had a couple of children and was on business in Chicago. And he thought, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go and look up Mr. Hamilton. So we went to Mr. Hamilton's offices, and the receptionist told him it's impossible to see Mr. Hamilton, but you could see Mrs. Hamilton. So she was taken into the office, and Roger introduced himself, and Mrs. Hamilton said, I heard you knew my husband. Yes. And do you know when? She said, yes, very surely. He said, on May the 7th, day I was discharged, your husband kindly picked me up. She says, was anything special about that day, that meeting, that would want you to come and meet my husband this morning? He said, yes. He said, I told him about Jesus. And he gave his life to him that day. Mrs. Hamilton, she broke down and sobbed. She said, I've been praying for my husband's salvation for years. And she said, I really did believe God would save him. Well, where's your husband now? Ruby asked Roger. Well, he's dead. That very night, he was in a car crash. After he left you, he never returned home. But God had kept his promise. And yet I stopped living for God for 5 years because I thought God would not keep his word. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? And you believe God has spoken to you? When you've prayed so faithfully? When you believe that God would open doors and yet the doors have not been opened? For Ruby, she'd stopped living for God, and here she was 5 years later to discover that God had kept his word. He had given her husband that Kairos moment in which he had accepted Christ hours before he was taken into heaven. You see, I believe that God knows every time and moment in our lives, and he knows when is best for those Kairos moments. Have you ever considered that you have a divine appointment this morning? You're not here by coincidence. That every time you attend a prayer meeting, it is a Kairos moment, a home group or a study. When you've got up early for your quiet time, when you've been studying your word, look out for those Kairos moments. You know, Jesus had come to give one lady a Kairos moment. Before we talk about this lady and her journey in faith, it gives us comfort to know that the word tells us Jesus was at that well because he was tired and he was hungry and he was thirsty. His disciples had gone to buy food. Isn't it good to know that although God was divine, he also was human, born in flesh, Son of Man, Son of God. He knows what it's like to be hungry and thirsty. He knows what it's like when we're under life's pressures, when circumstances seem to crumble us. He knows because he has suffered like us. Now, many theories have been suggested why Jesus had to go through Samaria. The Bible doesn't say why. Some say it was the shortest distance, but we know that there. Verse 9 states there was great hostility between Jews and Samaritans, and most Jews would have kept steer of that road. They would have kept clear of it. I truly believe that God gave his son a revelation that this woman was hungry and thirsty for God and needed a divine appointment. I tell you, God still opens doors of opportunity. And so this woman came at noon. Nicodemus came at night. Let me tell you, Jesus will meet you day or night. He is ever available. And so Jesus, being thirsty, naturally opened the conversation with, please give me a drink. That was a natural question. This woman, though, had recognized, first of all, that Jesus was a Jew, and her reaction was that one of teasing. Yes, she gave him the drink. But she could not resist having a little bit of a tease with him. Verse 9, she says, "You Samaritans." She says, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, a woman even, for a drink?" Most people wouldn't even speak to a woman. Certainly would not speak to a Samaritan. Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. What this woman had failed to realize is that Jesus has come to break down the partition. There is no men and women. There is no Jew or Greek. There is no bond or free. Rich or poor. Slave or master. Jesus has broken the division. He has come to meet with everyone. Jesus wants to meet with you. Jesus says, "Listen, if you had only known and recognized God's gift, and who was this that is saying unto you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This woman then says, "Are you telling me that you're greater than our father Jacob, who actually built this well and drank from it?" Jesus was saying, "Yeah, absolutely. The water that Jacob drank was natural water and it made him thirsty again. But I've got living water, supernatural water. I am greater than Jacob. What I give you will make you never thirst again." To the heart of the matter, the deep thirst that was emptiness in her life. Jesus is interested in your spiritual soul this morning. He knows that you need living water. And so he brings her back again. Jesus says in verse 14, "But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never thirst again. But that water that I will give him shall become a spring welling up inside, bubbling continually for eternal life." Your greatest desire is for Jesus, is that you will receive eternal life. This woman then begins to talk about religion. And Jesus begins to say, "Listen, religion will never satisfy you. Whether you worship in this mountain or whether you worship there, let me tell you, if you want to have a relationship with God, it will not be in religion. It will be in a person. It is in me. Because you can only worship me in spirit and in truth." That spirit is the Holy Spirit coming into your life, which comes into your life when you become a born-again Christian. When you accept Jesus, you receive that Spirit, which enables you to have that relationship with him. And the truth is quite simply the Word of God, which simply says that there is no other way of salvation but through Jesus, but through the Messiah. This woman says, "Yes, I'm waiting for the Messiah. Oh, I believe in the Messiah." Jesus says, "I am the Messiah. The one who's sitting with you at this well is the Messiah." This lady then says, "I thought you were a Jew. Realized that you said you were greater than our father Jacob. I've heard you talk that you are the Messiah." Jesus says, "Well, go and get your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband." Jesus said, "You're spot on. That is true. You've had five. And the man you're now with is not your husband." This woman now perceives that this man is not just simply a Jew or someone claiming to be greater than Jacob. But this one is able to speak into her life and tell her about her past. He's also told he's able to give her something in the present that will make her never thirst again in the spiritual sense. This woman has received revelation. Jesus has got her attention. She's had a reaction. This woman says, "I really do understand that, believe that you are a prophet and that you've been able to speak into my life." The revelation of God had borne fruit in this woman. Her journey to faith is at an end. The jigsaw puzzle is complete. The woman left her water jar. She didn't go back for her husband. She brought a town full of men. She said, "Come, I believe the Messiah is here." Here was someone I've met this morning who hasn't condemned me, but has spoken to my life. He has revealed everything that I've ever done. I wonder if this morning you've had that revelation, that conclusion, that reaction that will bring a result that who is Jesus. He is the Messiah, the one who has come to bring living water. Like this woman, the town came to meet Jesus and they too came up with the same conclusion. The Bible tells us that many believed. If you're thirsty and dry this morning, Jesus can fill you. Sometimes even as Christians, we become thirsty and dry because we're not drinking of that living water. It is a dryness of spirit that can only be accomplished when we freely drink of the water of life. Am I neglecting my Bible study? Am I rushing through my prayer time? Am I not listening to Jesus or hearing His voice because I'm just too busy to stand still? Do I need to confess my sin? Do I need to read, meditate, pray and listen and keep drinking from the spiritual water? In other words, just give me Jesus. Amen.